The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Mazel tov, mazel tov, congratulations!
Apparently is not about my Brooklyn, old Brooklyn. It's a crossing the Jews sitting on park benches, Brooklyn. This one is about the ghetto and Puerto Ricans and French people and Schwarzes, but don't be scared. It's just a show. They can't come off the stage and hurt you. So, listen in a couple minutes for Inside Broadway with Dave, and then the rest of the show with me, Saul Solomon, reminding you that Dave's Call Night is rated DJB-13 is a warning for parents that if your children are listening, no harm shall come to them, but no help either. Don't touch that goddamn dial. We will be right back after these messages, which may include a potential birthday gift item for yours truly, not that I'm pushing.
I've been telling you for months why you should use Hewlett Minuteman Press for all your copying and printing needs. But here's one of the owners, Mike Toron, to tell you why.
Hi, how you doing? At Minuteman Press, our ultimate goal is service. We are your best source for the most complete line of printed products. You can check us out on the web at www.hewlett.minutemanpress.com.
And Dave Lefkowitz is here for the play-by-play, the play-by-play-by-play by Dave in his book of plays, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Comedies, satirical, silly, sad, and strange, all collected in a great-looking book. Just $20 hardcover, $12 soft, 516-295-1511, or davesgoneby.com for Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Da-da-da-da-da! Play Dave! Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide.
Starting previews tonight, September 23rd, is a new Broadway musical, one of the first of the season, and the title should automatically bring a smile to anyone in this area. It's called Brooklyn, the musical, and it's a look at that strange and scary and lovely and ever-changing borough, the one where I was born, by the way, except don't get your nostalgia caps on so quick. Brooklyn, the musical, is set in modern times with a story that incorporates all kinds of pop and soul music. The show tells of a French girl named Brooklyn who journeys to the place that bears her name and meets all these talented artists and homeless people. Kind of sounds like Can-Can meets Rent, but the cast is young and talented, and they've got Jeff Calhoun directing. His last assignment was that nifty revival of Big River a couple of years back, which mixed hearing and deaf actors. And the music director on Brooklyn is John McDaniel, still popular from his years as band leader on The Rosie O'Donnell Show. Brooklyn had its out-of-town tryout, not in Brooklyn, but in Denver, of all places, and it got some very nice reviews. So we may be looking at a sleeper here. Brooklyn doesn't officially open until October 21st, so if you hurry to the Plymouth Theater on West 45th Street, you can catch it before the New York critics weigh in. And if you want to find out which other shows are just about to open or opening later in the season, you got to get Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. Everything about Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, opera, and dance is in Performing Arts Insider. Once a month, with 40 to 50 pages crammed with useful, fun-to-read information all about the shows in New York. Call 516-295-1511 or visit TotalTheater.com. Order a subscription and mention Dave's Gone By, get 10% off. Order just the current issue for only $10, a third off the regular price. 516-295-1511 for the best Broadway magazine around, Performing Arts Insider. You know, we were off last week for the Jewish holiday, so Inside Broadway didn't get a chance to honor a bunch of theater notables who passed away. It was like one after the other, really sad. First of all, Ralph Allen, who died September 9th at age 70. Allen wrote the book and score for Honky Tonk Nights, a one-week Broadway flop, but he also wrote Sugar Babies, the monster hit review that revived Mickey Rooney's career 2 decades ago. Amazingly enough, Sugar Babies sprang out of a scholarly lecture that Ralph Allen was giving on early 20th century entertainment. The academics just roared at Allen's recreation of classic burlesque routines, and, go figure, there was a producer in the audience. Thus was Sugar Babies born. But alas, Ralph Allen has now died, as has Jerome Chugarov. He made it to age 93, but he died September 12th. Chugarov not only co-wrote the popular play My Sister Eileen with Joseph Fields, but he and Fields helped adapt it into the musical Wonderful Town, which is enjoying a hit Broadway revival as we speak. We also lost a producer 2 weeks ago when Jonathan Scherer died of cancer at age 56. Scherer was producing national tours for rock groups like Blondie and the Talking Heads, but in 1982, he was the first producer to take a chance on a funny, spoofy review written by Gerard Alessandrini. The review lovingly mocked musicals old and new on the Great White Way, and it continues to this day as Forbidden Broadway. More obituaries. On September 10th, O.L. Duke, a black actor appearing in the off-Broadway drama Waiting to End Hell, was killed in a car crash while driving home from the show. And last but in no ways least, farewell, of course, to Fred Ebb. After a series of odd jobs, he started writing songs with various partners until, in 1962, he was introduced to composer John Kander. After convincing Barbara Streisand to feature their song My Coloring Book on her Color Me Barbara album, Kander and Ebb first reached Broadway in 1965 with a short-lived Flora the Red Menace. Then, 2 years later, genius took hold, and they gave the world Cabaret. Other musicals followed, many with dark themes that became their specialty, but it took 9 more years for their next masterwork, Chicago, which was underappreciated at the time. Not only was it seen as too cynical for a general audience, but 1976 was the year of A Chorus Line, which tended to overshadow anything that came in its path. Of course, Chicago came back in a burst of glory that included a Tony-winning revival and an Oscar-winning movie. And Kander and Ebb had other hits, including Woman of the Year and Kiss of the Spider-Woman. But their track record didn't guarantee success. And when Steel Pier didn't quite click, they found it hard to get financing for other projects. For example, their musical adaptation of Friedrich Dürrenmatt's The Visit, with Che Guevara slated for the lead. It's been 5 years, and we haven't seen it yet. But we have heard dozens of Kander and Ebb songs, like Willkommen, Mummy, Maybe This Time, A Quiet Thing, All That Jazz, and who could forget New York, New York. We won't forget Fred Ebb, the man who wrote this final verse for My Coloring Book. This is the room I sleep in, and walk in, and weep in, and hide in, that nobody sees. Color it lonely, please. This is the man, the one I depended upon. Color him gone.
We've just been Inside Broadway with Total Theater and Performing Arts Insider.
Mary play very smooth jazz. Tuesdays at 9 you can dig what he has. Thursdays at 6 all you GBB tonighters, hear Larry Davidson interview writers. Everyone, can't you see that it's fun and it's free on AM 1240 GBB? And what do you hear on the weekend airwaves? What do you hear when you're not hearing Dave? You hear Bonnie D. Graham host Long Island Dating. Fridays at 6 for advice about mating. Redman on Saturdays, and Rack is his mission. Tune in 7:30 for fresh new musicians. After that, Mary Keane and Jimmy at 9. Humor that straddles the FCC line. And if you're a conservative, you're not alone. For Sundays at 7, you got Joe Salzone. And the turn it on, if you dare, on AM 1240 GBB. On Thursdays at
7,
it's me. Thank you.
Shalom, shalom, uracha. I am so excited. This is going to be so wonderful. I'm going to be talking to Ms. Dottie Berman, B-U-R-M-A-N, Dottie Berman. She's got these CDs out, she does these seminars, she's a positive thinker, she does all these wonderful things that I do not. So please welcome to this show, Ms. Dottie Berman. Dottie, how are you?
I'm just wonderful. Happy New Year to you.
Oh, Happy New Year to you, goddammit. Are you having a good New Year?
I'm having a wonderful New Year.
This
very
is good.
Exciting.
This is good.
Very busy.
You know, I didn't know they were still naming people Dottie. Is there really Dorothy, or did it
I'm really Dorothy, like Dorothy from Kansas.
Dorothy from Kansas. I don't get
right.
the reference. I don't know what the hell that is.
Anyway, well, that's from The Wizard of Oz, Rabbi.
The Wizard of Oz, Judy Garland, and the thing. I don't believe in rainbows. It's too much colors. They hurt my eyes.
Well, I know.
Anyway, so...
But yes, it's Dorothy. However, I find Dorothy is a beautiful name, but very formal, so I use Dottie.
Dottie Berman. And what do you do, Dottie Berman? You
I do a lot of things, Rabbi. I'm very busy. I'm a professional speaker. I'm also a singer and a songwriter and an entertainer. So I'm busy with all this stuff here.
How do you find the time? I don't even have the time to be a good rabbi, for God's sakes. How
I'm sure you're just wonderful.
No, I'm actually really horrible, but keep me on. I don't charge much.
So, well, it's all connected. You know.
Started as a teacher?
Well, you want to hear my little history?
I'm going to hear your big history.
I'm going to hear my big history. Okay. When I was 10 years old, in summer camp, I had the leads in all the musicals, you know, and I loved doing it. But when I went to college, I didn't even consider going into show business. It just was, you know, who did that? You needed a nice, secure job, right?
Oh, I'm listening to you. I have 18 and a half children. I'm saying either doctor, lawyer, that's it.
That's it. So I became a high school English teacher, and I loved it. I mean, it's a wonderful profession. And the whole time that I was doing that, I was also doing singing and songwriting because I always loved doing it, but just as a hobby, you know?
Right.
And then when I realized that I could take early retirement, I thought, this is it. I'm going to follow my dreams, and I'm going to go into show business full time, and I did that.
Well, saying it and doing it is another thing. So what were the steps that you took from going from being a retired English teacher to an entertainer and speaker?
Well, I took a lot of workshops before I left. I really believe in getting help. I work with career coaches. I had a singing teacher who I still have. You need help to make any big changes in your life. And in fact, I do presentations now for organizations about things like that. I have one show called It's Never Too Late to Follow Your Dreams, and I talk about all the anxieties of making changes. It's not easy, but you can do it, you know? I am a positive thinker, Rabbi.
Do you remember the first time you got up on the stage there?
Well,
and did your thing?
Well, as a kid, you mean?
Oh, actually, I was thinking more along the lines of as your first professional gig. I like that word, gig.
Well, I'll tell you, while I was still
gig.
Teaching, I... Gig, yeah, it's a nice
word. Good
word,
gig!
Yes. while I was still teaching, I became part of a bluegrass group, and they called themselves the Canarsie Boys, and I said, hey, wait a minute, I'm a girl. So we changed it to the Canarsie Five. And we were a semi-professional group. We performed all over. And then I got kind of tired of doing folk music and bluegrass music, and that's when I wrote my first song.
What was it? What was the first song?
The first song was called My Telephone Answering Machine, because here I was teaching kids that you should write from your own experiences, you know? So
mm-hmm.
I thought, well, I got a telephone answering machine. I was one of the first people to have one, and I was getting these strange messages, and I thought, there you go, that's going to be a song. And that was the first song I ever wrote, and I did a concert then. I think it was at a church or a synagogue, you know.
A church? You set foot in a church? What the hell is wrong with you?
Oh, I'm very ecumenical, Rabbi.
Oh,
I will perform
God.
Any place, you know. That...
You have to have a little taste, I mean.
No,
really?
No. Some of my best friends are not Jewish, Rabbi.
Oh, you shunder!
No, I believe in diversity. I really do. but anyway, the people at the performance came up afterwards. I just did one original song. And they said, oh, I really love that song. And, you know, a light bulb went off in my head.
That must have hurt.
Yeah, this is what I want to do. And that's when I started writing a lot. And that's my first memory of doing one of my own songs.
You know. Do you go through, you should pardon the expression, spurts, where you'll do like 20 songs in a month and a half, and then like two over the next year? Or do they just come regularly?
No. It happens. I have to be inspired by something I'm feeling or something I've experienced or something someone has told me that hits me. And I don't write on any regular basis. I write when it just is, oh, my God, that's an idea for a song, you know.
If you had to pick one song of all the ones that you've written,
yeah.
What would be your favorite?
Well, I think my favorite is I'm in love with my computer. because I really am in love with my computer. And I wrote that song because I got a computer, let's say, well, right when I knew I was going to leave teaching.
Right.
And I was going into show business, and it's a business. And, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I have a business here. And I thought, gee, I really have to learn to use a computer. And I got, this is not advertising, but I got a Macintosh computer, right? And I love this computer. I walked around the house saying, I love this computer. I love this computer. And you see, a light bulb goes off in my head, and I thought, oh, it's a song. And, in fact, it's the name of my first CD album.
The first CD album is, in fact, called I'm in Love with My Computer. Here's the song from it now.
After years of looking for a steady lover, I have finally had it with the world of men, the ones who still are married or never will be married, or don't want to be remarried ever in their lives again. I've decided no more dating, no more searching. I will focus on developing my art. I've spent hours writing at my new computer. Now a strange thing has happened to my lonely heart. I'm in love with my computer, a cuter computer I've never seen. I like his style, so sleek and trim, that I'm quite irresistibly drawn to him. And he's gosh, by gosh, yes, he's a Macintosh. So it's so easy to see why he is the apple of my eye, and I'm in love with my computer. I'm so proud of my computer, and this cuter computer I've never known. He's very wise, such common sense, and his big, marvelous memory is immense. And he's there for me, he'll always care for me. He's my romantic marathon, 'cause I can always turn him on. My heart has gone to my computer. How I rely on my computer, my personal tutor inspires me. Last night I went to work with him. Oh no, I saw his screen was dim. Would my Mac survive, or had he lost his drive? Had a computer virus crept into his system? I thought maybe I could save him if I kissed him. Well, it worked. My dear computer, my singular suitor returned to me. I knew that he would be all right when he hummed so contentedly through the night. Yes, I'm still there for him, and though I'll care for him, I can't ignore his woeful lack that he can never kiss me back. I must admit my Mac is neuter. So reluctantly I plan to search again for a real live man, although I'm still in love with my computer.
Doggy Byman, I'm in love with my computer. Well, she's in love with her computer. I'm not so much in love with mine. You also have a second CD called When the Palm Trees Grow in Central Park.
Yeah, I seem to like long titles, don't I?
You do. Why is it that you have to speak in these extremely long and complicated sentences? Doggy Byman, why do you do this at all?
Well, because I like words. I think that I was an English teacher, and I am a writer. I also write articles. I'm going to be writing a book soon.
Oh, yeah, book.
So I love using words, Rabbi. They're fun, you know? And the palm tree, where that all started, before 9/11, I had this phrase that went around in my head about palm trees in Central Park, and I laughed. It made me giggle, you know? I have to giggle at my own stuff, or nobody else is going to like
it.
Oh,
that is so true. If I don't laugh, nobody's laughing at my stuff, that's for sure. But it gives me a chuckle.
Oh, well, as long as you're having fun, right?
Oh, yeah.
Gig! I had this idea, and then 9/11 happened, and of course we were all devastated, and I thought, I cannot write a satiric song that has anything to do with New York City. I can't do this. And then about a year and a half ago, it felt like we had moved on a bit and I could write the song. And one of the things is that my take on life is humorous. I think that's how I get through. And it's very hard for me to write serious songs. So I wrote the song about when the palm trees grow in Central Park. And really what it is my protest against global warming. But the way I do it is to say, isn't it going to be wonderful when we have palm trees in Central Park and all the streets will be canals?
Oh, I so agree with you. All my relatives will come back from Florida. They'll all come because they will need to go there in the winter. They'd all be in New York, and then they come and they bother me with their children and their grandchildren. Oh, my God, what a horrible thing.
Well, that's one of the lines in my song.
Rougher winters, God damn it. What?
Yeah, I mean, one of the lines in my song is, I can't quote it exactly, but that you're only going to need one wardrobe. Because the people down in Florida will all be coming here, so you're quoting from my song.
That's okay. I only change my shirt once a week anyway. It doesn't matter to me.
And I was going to call the album Take a Musical Break, which is another song that I wrote. And then I said to people, you know, I'm going to include my palm tree song. You sort of do market research with your friends. And they all said, oh, you have to call the album When the Palm Trees Grow in Central Park, because it's catchier. And that's how I came to call it that. And then I'm working with a wonderful graphic designer, and he got very inspired, you know, and your listeners can't see it, of course, but the album has a picture of me surrounded by palm trees with the New York skyline in the background.
It's a very cute thing, and you got the sparkly dress on, and you're touching the trees, and it's tropical. It's Paul Gauguin meets Ray and Stimpy. I really like it. It's good.
Oh, I'm glad you like it.
I am here today to encourage you to join the new committee I am forming. We call ourselves the New Yorkers who want to aid the rapid rise of global warming. Think of all the benefits for you when you support the manufacture of that precious CO2, that precious CO2. When the air is filled with lots of lovely freon, we will have a climate like the Caribbean, and we'll be forever grateful and give thanks as we watch the Hudson River overflow its banks. On this island where the weather's tropical, every street will be a flowing grand canal. So no matter where you live, it will be true. You can boast you have a home that has a river view. To get around the city by controller, you'll embark when the palm trees grow in Central Park. When the palm trees grow in Central Park. You will save a lot of money, here's the reason. You will only need one wardrobe for one season. No more going down to Florida each year. The people down in Florida will all be coming here. This is an inexpensive place for recreation. You can stay at home and have a great vacation. On Thanksgiving, our parade will be the best. You can watch the floats go floating by on Central Park West. Have a picnic in November or December, what a lark, when the palm trees grow in Central Park. When the palm trees grow in Central Park.
that you can do to cut down on the oxygen and increase CO2 and increase CO2. You can buy another SUV, then cut down another tree. Keep your air conditioner going, keep those light bulbs brightly glowing. You'll be proud that you have helped to make our effort hit a mark. When the palm trees grow, waving to and fro, when the palm trees grow, no more rise than snow. When the palm trees grow in Central Park. Away!
Let me ask you some more things.
Sure.
First of all, you're Jewish, right?
Well, you know what? Rather than answer that question, let me say that the way I got into performing for organizations is that when I left teaching, I did a show in cabaret. And people would come up to me afterwards and say, can you perform at my synagogue? Can you perform at my church? Can you perform for my organization? And I thought, sure. So one of the places that I was booked to do was a synagogue, in fact, on Long Island. I've done 10 of the libraries on Long Island. I've done many organizations out there. And I thought, I've got to write a song to this. You know, because every time that I do one of these groups where there are a lot of Jewish people, someone comes up after and says to me, excuse me, Dottie, do you mind my asking, are you Jewish? And I thought, that's a song. So I wrote the song, Is She Jewish?
Oh, what a wonderful question that is, at least as long as the answer is yes, is she Jewish?
I bet that some of you are looking at me, and this is what you're thinking privately. Is she Jewish? She doesn't look it, with all those freckles and red hair. She must be Irish, an Irish Catholic. Look at her profile, it shows such a nice little nose. She can't be Jewish, her name is Berman, she spells it Berman with a U. She must be German, a German Berman, a Berman spelled with a U. Just can't be a Jew. Is she married, or at least divorced, or widowed, or to be accepted in the Jewish clan? It really doesn't matter what he looks like, but any nice Jewish girl should have a man. Well, let me tell you, of course I'm Jewish. My hair is natural, with some assistance from a jar. And my cute nose bob is from a nose job. Promise you'll never tell. Do you think it suits me well? Our name was Bierman, B-I-E Bierman, when my daddy landed here. But he was frightened by anti-Semites, so he spelled it B-U. Did your folks do that too? You'll be glad to know I have a steady boyfriend. You should quell for me, so why are you perplexed? I've told you all about my Jewish background. Now I can tell by your face what you ask next. Is he Jewish? Is he Jewish? Well, with his natural blonde hair and his eyes a baby blue, he could be the captain of a Royal Viking crew. His name is Randall Evan Mills, which is no name for a Jew. But you can't judge a book by its cover. You've got it. He's my Yiddish lover. He's Jewish. Relax. We're Jewish. Mazel tov.
Dagi Berman there asking the question, is she Jewish? But let me ask you, Dagi Berman.
Yes.
How has Jewishness influenced you? What was your heavily Jewish upbringing? Conservative, conservadox, orthodox, liberadox? What the hell were you?
Reformed. I went to Temple Israel in Jamaica. It was a Reformed synagogue. I think it still exists, not in the original building. And so that is my background, actually, in Reformed Judaism. And I love all the, the weddings, the bar mitzvahs, all the symbols, and all the little Jewish expressions and all that. But I would call myself a secular Jewish person.
I mean, in one of your songs, you quote Hillel. He says, if I'm not for myself, who will be?
Well, that's the thing, Rabbi. I think that all this kind of, it's part of your life. And I do write some serious songs. And that one, if I'm not for myself, who will be? I use when I do organizations and I'm talking about how you have to nurture yourself. That all of us, we take care of our aging parents and we take care of our friends and we have careers. And when do we find time for ourselves? And I thought of that saying by Hillel from the Talmud. And I thought, gee, that would make a nice song. So that's also on that first I'm in Love with My Computer album.
So some of your songs are serious. They're not all ha-ha, funny-funny, humorous, joy-joy.
No, I do have ballads. I do have serious songs. Some of them I would call inspirational songs, like one of them is called I'm Doing the Best I Can. And you kind of feel you're not doing enough, you could be doing better. And I thought, gee, I have to write a song to say to people, you're doing the best you can do, and that's all any of us can do. And then also, this is about a year ago, I said, Berman, I said to myself, you're going to sit down, you're going to write a serious song. And that's one of the times when I just sat down and I thought, I'm going to do this now. And I wrote the lyric. Now, I write all the words on all the CDs that you've heard.
Uh-huh.
You do have my CDs, don't you, Rabbi?
I've got them right here. I'm in love with my computer. And when the palm trees grow in Central Park, and they're both released on what label?
Burtley Productions.
Burtley Productions label. How can people get them, by the way?
Well, I'll definitely give my website for those of you who are online, www.dottieberman.com, and that's DottieBurman. Also, those of you online, you can go to cdbaby.com and amazon.com and tower.com.
Oh, so they're out there. They're completely.
Absolutely.
There's foxes on the street corner selling bootlegs of them. You can get them very easily, I'm telling you.
I really don't like those words, Rabbi.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Bootleg
is a bad word. And is there also a number or an email or anything like that?
Yeah, if people want to get in touch with me, either to get my CDs or to talk to me about performing, doing a performance for one of their organizations, or singers who would like to use my songs, here is my voicemail number, 212-712-6335. Should I repeat that?
Please 212. Repeat that again. I only got the first three digits.
212-712-6335.
All right, so if you get a phone call at 5 after 3 in the morning with heavy, heavy breathing, that's not me.
Okay.
If it's asthmatic, it's probably me.
So I think I was saying about the, I write all the words. Okay. But there are times when I do collaborate with other people, and I had a collaborator for 8 years who was wonderful. His name is Robin Field.
Oh, from Dorothy and Fields?
Yes.
Never heard of him.
No. Oh, well, they were wonderful, and they won all kinds of prizes. And Robin one day just said, I've had it with show business. I've had it with New York. And he left and went back home to California. And we're still friends, but I don't work with him anymore. And once in a while now, I write all my own music, but I do collaborate. And the person I wrote with most recently is Rick Cummins. He wrote the music to Is She Jewish?
Ah.
And he wrote the music to this next song, which is called Serious Love Songs. This is a serious song. It's my words, and it's music by Rick Cummins.
Maybe it's the headlines, maybe it's my age. That voice inside is telling me to turn another page. Don't ask me why, don't ask me how. Something in me has changed, and now suddenly I want to write serious love songs. isn't easy for me to do. I come up with cliches of all the different ways that I can say that I am so in love with you. Suddenly I want to write passionate love songs. Passionate is how I would like to be. Instead, I often choose to banter and amuse. It's always in the safest path for me. A joke is my way of concealing the tenderness I'm feeling. It's part of my deserting little game. Forgive me if I'm wary, but frankly it seems scary. I'm afraid that you might say that you don't feel the same. Serious love songs, seemingly impossible to do. Hey, look what I've gone and done. I must admit I had fun writing this serious.
Serious love song from Doggy Berman and Rick Cummins, which you can get. And which that CD is which? Is it the computer one or is it the palm tree one?
No, it's on When the Palm Trees Grow in Central Park.
When the Palm Trees Grow in Central Park, songs by Doggy Berman. We've been talking so much about your songwriting. Let's talk about the seminars and the talks that you give that motivate people. And how do you do this? Go ahead, Doggy. Motivate me!
Okay. Well, I'll give you an example. I am going to be doing a presentation in Peoria, Illinois, believe it or not, November 19th. And this is an organization, and what it is, it's the 20th anniversary of a hospice part of Methodist Medical Center in Peoria, and it's for the staff, not for the residents. I would love to do something for the residents, but it's for the staff. And I love doing presentations for healthcare professionals who spend all their time helping us. And what I'm saying is you need to nurture yourself. And I'm calling the show Take a Musical Break and Celebrate Life. It's going to be a very upbeat kind of show, 1 hour. And what I say to meeting planners is if you have an information-packed meeting and you want a change of pace, then they bring me in to do entertainment with a message. I'm not a juggler. I'm not a magician. I am a professional speaker. So there's a message. But I make my points with my songs, and I get people singing along and clapping along. So the Peoria booking is a very good example of that.
Now, let me ask you something. You go out there and you do these songs, and you go and perform, and you're out there to tell them, oh, enjoy life, celebrate. But have you ever been in this dichotomous position there where you get up and you feel like crap and everything's going wrong and someone died and you got a toothache, and then you got to go out there and motivate people with all this happiness? Do you ever feel schizophrenic about it, or do you lift yourself up and it just carries you?
You bet your life, you do. And I always say one of the wonderful things about being a writer is that you can use everything that happens in your life, can become a song, can become a story. And then also, the whole time I was teaching, there were days like that where you just felt awful and you knew you had to go in and you had to reach the kids and you wanted to give a good lesson. And it's the same thing with performing. I don't know how I'm going to feel tomorrow, and if I have a show to do, you do it. And it lifts me up, because I know that I'm moving and touching other people.
Not in a bad way, I hope.
No, not in a bad way, in a very an emotional way, Rabbi.
Okay.
And so that it gets me through any difficult situations. I wanted to mention also that I did a show at Don't Tell Mama Cabaret in May, and it was called An Evening with Dottie Berman, featuring songs from my new CD, When the Palm Trees Grow in Central Park. And my musical director is the wonderful Paul Greenwood. He starred in our Sinatra off-Broadway. Well, it was so successful, we are bringing it back. And I hope you will come, Rabbi.
Oh, are you kidding? I'll bring my whole entourage.
Please do.
Because, you know, I have death threats and all that. So when is this going to be at Don't Tell Mama again?
Don't Tell Mama Cabaret, which is 343 West 46th in Manhattan. It's going to be Monday night, September 27th. Monday night, October 4th, right after the Jewish holidays.
Oh, good. So you're not going to perform on Yom Kippur, I hope.
Absolutely not.
Right.
And the shows are at 6:30 p.m. And the best way, the quickest way to get information is to go to my website, because we have all the information there. And I would love to see all your listeners come to that show. It's a lot of fun, and Paul is wonderful. We sing duets. He sings a solo. He's a wonderful singer himself. And it's just a fun show. I've got palm trees all over the stage, you know, on the back curtains, and I wear this glittery green dress. It's just, we're having a good time.
It does sound like fun, and listening to the CDs, they're very enjoyable. I have a couple quick more questions. What was the most recent song that you wrote? What inspired you, and then suddenly, when was the last time you wrote a song?
Well, one of the most recent songs is called The Announcement. And usually what inspires me, if something makes me happy, I might write a song. But if something annoys me or makes me angry, boy, that is great inspiration.
So you're going to be writing a song about me, perhaps?
You know what? I just might.
Yes, damn it, yes! Immortality!
But I go to the theater a lot, and I got so tired of hearing the announcement, please turn off your cell phone, turn off your beepers, unwrap your candy now. I thought, that is a song. So I wrote this song called The Announcement. I'll tell you a little story about this, how songs get out in the world. And I want my songs being sung by other people, used by other people, you know. Someone on a radio station in Iowa is a fan of mine, and he interviewed me 5 years ago with the first CD. And I sent him the new CD. 2 weeks ago, I got an email from a man who runs a theater in Spirit Lake, Iowa. Okay.
All right.
Saying, I heard your CD, I heard the song The Announcement, I want to license that song to use in my theater to, before each show, we're going to do 6 performances of a show out there in February 2005, and he is licensing that song for me to use it. And that is so exciting, Rabbi.
It's a wonderful thing. Every time you go to the theater, good show, bad, the first thing you hear is Dottie Berman's, you know, turn off your cell phone song and do uncrinkle your candies early and what else? Turn off your pacemaker because those tick a lot.
But not your hearing aid.
Not there. What?
Don't turn off your...
I already turned it off. What the hell's the matter with you?
Well, I really wish that I could license it to theaters here in New York, and I really would like to do that, and I certainly, that's in the back of my mind, and I'm always out there, you know, sharing my songs with other people. So that's a start. We're out in Iowa. I'm big in Iowa and Peoria.
This is good. And I'm relatively big in Borough Park. But I'm talking to the wonderful and big and terrific Lady Dottie Berman. Remind people again how they can contact you one more time.
Okay, go to my website, www.dottieberman.com, and it's DottieBerman. Or call my voicemail. Be sure to leave your name and phone number so I can get back to you. 212-712-6335.
Dottie Berman, I want to thank you so much for talking to the rabbi on Days Gone By. I want to wish you a very happy Jewish New Year and holidays.
And the same to you, Rabbi. It's been a pleasure.
Shalom.
Before the show begins, may I suggest you listen very carefully to this request. Please turn off your cell phone. I know it is a swell phone, but it's the phone from hell phone when it rings throughout the show. Please turn off your beeper and your pager and your palm, and then turn off the buzzer on your handy wrist alarm. And if you need a candy or a cough drop desperately, please unwrap it now and give at least one piece to me. And remember, there's no smoking. I'm allergic, I'm not joking. You wouldn't want me choking. Anyway, that is the law. I'm sure you've heard these rules before. You're such a savvy crowd. Remember, taking photographs is strictly not allowed. And all recording of this show is out of line. But if you do these things, please note, the copyright is mine. I'd like your attention, 'cause I forgot to mention, I favor noise prevention, but some noise is really fine. Don't turn off your laughter or applause, I'd be dismayed. And please be sure you don't turn off your trusty hearing aid. And now I've finished my announcement, so I'll go. Thank you all for listening, and please enjoy the show.
Ooh, it's getting toasty in here. Toasty in a tasty way, because Quiznos subs transcend the ordinary. They're made to order with quality ingredients like freshly sliced premium meats, crisp vegetables, and rich melted cheeses, all piled high on artisan bread. I don't know what that is, but it's delicious and oven toasted to bring out the flavor. They've also got low carb toasty flatbread, fresh crisp salads, hearty old fashioned soups, and specialty desserts. Have you been to the new Quiznos in Hewlett? 1320 Broadway, same block as Lohman's. Stop in and tell owner Ken or anybody else working there that you heard about Quiznos on Dave's Gone By, and you'll get 10% off your meal. In fact, stop into any Quiznos and mention this program. Nothing will happen, but, you know, it's good publicity for me. Anyway, discover the extraordinary taste of Quiznos subs, 1320 Broadway in Hewlett. Mmm, toasty!
Enjoyed the program. I am being your guest host, Rabbi Saul Solomon of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. I'd like to thank my congregation. I'd like to thank the sponsors of this program, Hewlett Minuteman Press, where they make copies and they do binding and printing, and they're all Jewish, and God bless them. 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, and thank you, Quiznos of Hewlett, right across the street. If you're over 60, get someone to cross you. It's worth it. For the sandwiches and soups and snacks at Quiznos, it's not all kosher, but even the Grand Rebbe could get enough for a meal there, if he were alive. And because he was such a scholar, he'd remember to mention this program, Dave's Gone By, for a 10% discount at both Minuteman and Quiznos and the theater magazine Performing Arts Insider, which you can read more about at TotalTheater.com. I'm also supposed to thank the hosts of all these other programs on WGBB. Mike Chimeri with the Instrumental Invasion, Tuesday nights at 9, Joyce Keller, Radio Psychic, on the air since 1987, Keller Horror, catch her Wednesday nights at 11, WGBB Tonight with Larry Davidson, Nice Jewish Boy, Thursdays at 6, Long Island Dating with Bonnie D. Graham, Nice Jewish Girl, Fridays at 6. In the weekends, Mr. Redman, also a Jew, Saturdays at 7:30, followed by the Decidedly Goyish, Mikey and Jimmy at 9. And the I Can't Believe How Not Jewish He Is, Joe Saldone, Politics on Your World, Sunday nights at 7. Thank you to engineer Tom Ross, who should be Jewish but isn't. Thank you, Dave Lefkowitz, and his beautiful wife, Joyce, who wasn't Jewish but is. And thank you, of course, to my delightful guest, Dottie Berman. See her at Don't Tell Mamas the next two Monday nights, September 27th and October 4th. Buy her two CDs, I'm in Love with My Computer and When the Palm Trees Grow in Central Park. Book her for your next corporate event or party, DottieBerman.com. B-U-R-M-A-N. Say it backwards, damn rub, which sounds dirty, so don't say it, goddammit. What you can say is how much you love and enjoy the Dave's Gone By program every Thursday at 7. And Dave will be back next week, September 30th, the first day of Sukkot. Then his guest will be Tom Paxton. They talked a few weeks ago, and the conversation went so well in Yirtzeh Hashem, they decided to do a part two. And that's next Thursday, 7 o'clock. Tom Paxton talks to Dave. But you don't have to wait that long to hear Mr. Dave. He's pre-recorded a special show, a special one-hour program of music just for you bastards. It's right after his program tonight, 8 to 9 p.m. Dave's been doing this the last couple of weeks, and he's very grateful to the station WGBB for allowing him this extra time. Tonight, a big birthday salute. Did you know that Ray Charles, John Coltrane, and Bruce Springsteen were all born on this date, September 23rd? Apparently, Dave did, and he's honoring these three incomparable artists. And I use the word artiste because they're not Jewish. If they were Jewish, we'd say artists. What the hell is wrong with the word artist? But no, for the guy in which you fancy, we'll call him artiste. Point, point. Bruce Springsteen, John Coltrane, Ray Charles, music and trivia the whole next hour with Dave Lefkowitz. I want to thank you for spending the previous hour with me, Zeb Saul Solomon, on behalf of myself, my dear wife Miriam Libby, and our 19 and a half children, Nehemia, Josiah, Shloimi, Chana, Rivki, Yehuda, Moish, Yehezkel, Boruch, Avigdor, Yisrael, Hephzibah, Shol, Aliza, Shimon, Gedalia, Naphtali the Elder, Naphtali the Younger, and Fred, by my first marriage. I want to remind you, at this holiday time, don't miss your days going by. This is Rabbi Saul Solomon. Good night, good yontif, and God damn it, gone by!